It is officially working right now.
Okay. Good evening, gentlemen. We will shortly be continuing in the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov, the laws of Yom Tov, Perek Vav, Halacha Tes Zayin, Chapter 6, Law 16, in the Maznaim text. That will be page 264 and 265. We had a couple more halachas to finish up on Erev Tafshilin. That was the topic of last week. So a couple more pages in the halacha book here, and we'll wrap that up, and then we'll move right into the next section. Now, if you recall, the Erev Tafshilin that you make on Erev Yontiv, it only permits you to cook on the day before Shabbos. So if you make Erev Tafshilin on Wednesday, that means on Friday, or Thursday night technically, on Friday, you can cook for Shabbos. Now, an interesting restriction that applies, even if you've made the Erev Tafshilin, and you're preparing the food on Yom Tov for Shabbos, but according to many opinions, the food should be edible in its cooked status on Yom Tov itself, before Shabbos. And the reason is that since the Erev Tafshilin is only a rabbinic ordinance, and can only permit cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos, if there's no other Torah prohibition involved. But if the food is not usable on Yom Tov, so according to some opinions, there's a Torah prohibition cooked food from Shabbos to Yom Tov if the food isn't able
Yom
to be...
From Yom Tov to Shabbos
if you're not able to eat the food on Yom Tov itself.
That makes sense, because otherwise it wouldn't be fully cooked and you'd be cooking on Shabbos, wouldn't you?
Well, no.
No, he's saying it has to be...
No, yeah, that's the problem. Hold on. They're saying it should be edible before Shabbos. There's other complicated halachas that we're not going to get into regarding that, but it's saying that the food should be edible on Shabbos as on Yom Tov as well before the Shabbos
begins.
Before the Shabbos begins.
Yeah.
So therefore, in order to be permitted to cook according to Torah, the food for Shabbos has to be at least 1/3 cooked while it's still Friday.
Yeah.
That's as we've had. Those are Shabbos halachas.
Right. Also that's clear Shabbos halachas.
So you can't violate Shabbos halachas.
That makes sense.
In regarding to that.
Shabbos shouldn't be any easier.
And more than that, you know, enough daytime has to be available on Friday after the food's been prepared, also to serve it to any possible unexpected guests. In other words, it's got to be some edible state before the Shabbos comes. According to many poskim, only if those conditions are fulfilled will it help that you've used this Erev Tafshilin. Because in other words, the Erev Tafshilin helps you to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos, but still you can't violate Shabbos laws.
I think that's a no-brainer.
So that's according to many poskim. However,
who would allow it?
Would some hold otherwise?
Well, next sentence coming up. Now, if one didn't, so what if you didn't start cooking early enough? What if you just hopped 2 hours before Shabbos? Whatever, you got invited to guests, it was a longer meal, and now you're going to come home, and whatever. So there's opinions that permit the cooking, even though the food will not be edible on Shabbos. And when Friday is the second day of Yom Tov, one can surely rely on those opinions in case of necessity. So what comes out is lechatchila, initially, it should be at the cooked to the stage of 1/3. And b'dieved, if not, you can prepare it later. Now, it's much more halachas involved that I want to go into, but, for example, we already know that sometimes you can do it anyway. There's a lot of other leniencies. I don't want to go into all the laws of Shabbos again. But, for example, we know that if you start a crock pot right before Shabbos,
and
you
if, it's raw, if it's raw, raw,
you're not planning on eating it till Shabbos morning, you're not going to touch it, then you could put it before. I'm not going to go over all the Shabbos halachas. But the main point we're saying is that there is a leniency here that even though normally, and again, there's many ways around that. You see, normally on an Erev Shabbos, you can get around it because even in an hour, you put the chicken in before Shabbos, you can get it to be a third cook before Shabbos. It's not the end of the world. Even if they put the chicken in a half an hour before, it's still a third cook before Shabbos and ready after Shabbos. But, you know, there's certain situations where it could be problematic. So you have to be cognizant of those Shabbos halachas. But still in all, he's saying, in this situation where it's Friday is Yom Tov, the second day of Yom Tov, we have opinions whom to rely on even if you haven't done it. So for example, even if you haven't done anything and you're putting the chicken in 1 minute before Shabbos, on a Yom Tov, you can rely on those leaning opinions to put it in for that. Because All the prohibitions are rabbinic in nature, yeah. Because afraid you'll stoke the coals, afraid you'll this. But the whole problem is we already have enough challenges because we've gone through 2 days of Yom Tov. There's only so much the rabbis can impose their rabbinic restrictions to make the housewives nuts. You have to remember, it's not like nowadays where many of the wives can cook a lot before Shabbos put in the fridge. Okay, they didn't have fridges, so you had to cook on Friday, and it was difficult after 2 days of second day of Yom Tov already coming into Shabbos. It was a lot of stress. So you have to know when how much you're going to have the rabbinic laws imposed over here. So that's to know, you want to be able to make sure it's up to speed like for any other Shabbos. But if not, we'll be lenient on that situation.
It's not clear as to whether one-third cooked would be considered cooked enough to serve to guests.
Well, it's Machu Ben Drusoy. Machu Ben Drusoy. The guest is very hungry.
No, in a press. Eat it in a
press. Oh, no, I'm saying that... No, where is that now? Where was that? In other words, it's better that it should be even totally edible for guests. That's what he's saying.
Okay.
You know, but if not, at least that one-third. We've always gone with that measurement of one-third.
No, the one-third is fine, but it just seemed like it's not fair to say that would be good enough to serve to guests.
Yeah. Now, here's an interesting situation.
Not my guess.
Let's say you've left, it's Wednesday afternoon, you've left home, you're going to shul, right? And then you've come to shul and you realize you did not make the Erev Tavshilin.
That's a bad feeling.
Okay.
Right. So when is it?
You're in shul now. It's 5 minutes before Minhag.
This is Erev Yom Tov.
Wednesday afternoon. And you're in shul 5 minutes before Minhag and you go, I didn't do it. Right? So what you can do is you can appoint someone to make the Erev Tavshilin for you. So you pick up the phone and ask any one of your household members to make the Erev Tavshilin. Or you can even send another messenger to make an Erev Tavshilin for you. Now, what if those aren't options? What if you're single? What if you're dialing in? Of course, who's picking up the phone 5 minutes before Yom Tov?
Not many people.
All the females are in the showers and whatever they do to get ready for Yom Tov time. Right? What?
The three-year-old
picks up the phone,
hi,
right?
Daddy. Hi.
So then technically you'd have to return home to make the Erev Tavshilin. Now, that would be the pure halacha, but there's leniencies here. Some poskim say that, listen to this, you can make the Erev Tavshilin while in shul by just having in mind that the food in his house that he will then separate when he comes home will be the Erev Tavshilin.
Cooked food that you have in your house.
There's some poskim, right? Yeah. Others say, no, that you can only make it with food that's actually in front of you. Okay? So technically, you know, if maybe you're lucky you're in a shul that has a roll and something that was cooked. So
you have to own it, though.
But well, how about
we say it belongs to everyone?
Ask the rabbi or to give
you
a
roll. But if you can do it by
roll.
Remote access with something you've already cooked in your fridge and separated
so,
later.
Okay, but others say you can only do what's actually in front of you. So
right.
Now, even if you want to rely on the lenient opinion, you still shouldn't make the bracha when he makes the Erev Tavshilin. Now, if, let's say, if by going home he's going to miss davening mincha at the proper time, then you can rely on the lenient opinion and you should not make a bracha. So that's a very key leniency over here. So it comes out, he says, I have in mind, there's a challah there, there's some fish over there, I'm going to come home. And I'm going to. You don't make the bracha. You have to say b'hadein erev.
Maybe you have food in your car, like a bag of potato chips.
What's better, do that or ask the rabbi if you made it for the whole community?
Well, again, obviously it's better for you to do it on your own.
Don't you do that?
Yeah, it's better.
Say the second thing.
I don't see why you couldn't say.
It's not the bracha.
Now, let's say. One second. In a situation where you're able to get food for the Erev in where you're at, then everyone agrees that can be used to make the Erev, even though, remember, it wasn't cooked and made initially for the Erev Tavshilin, right?
Designated while it's still.
But if you have something in the shul, right? Even though it's not where the cooking will be done, but still you can do that. And more than that, you can take from the shul, and you're not required to bring that food home, but you can leave it where the Erev was made.
But you have to eat it on Shabbos.
You should eat on Shabbos, yeah. But you, when you come back to shul for Shalosh Shabbos,
just make sure no one else eats.
So let's say a classic example, right? Refuels, make sure we have food for Shalosh Shabbos. So what has he brought? We got rolls and we got what's cooked.
Egg salad.
Egg salad is cooked. So you take a little egg salad, put it in a little bowl, take the egg salad, take the challah, separate it. Leave it there, and then you have it for Shalosh Shabbos.
Make sure no one else has it.
And then you have it.
But does it matter?
So the really kehillah-friendly shul, the rabbi should get up 5 minutes before...
And say, those who didn't make an Erev Tav Shilin...
...little packages of
Egg salad.
Put your name on it.
Okay, that's...
It's a fundraiser for $25. No, it's a good fundraiser. For $25, you now can have your Erev Tav Shilin.
And your wife will love you.
About its members.
Yes. And we have it written out and transliterated.
Yes. Now comes the next issue. That's if the guy's remembering before he stopped in the mincha.
Now, how about that?
Now, let's reverse it now. What if he didn't remember to make the erev until after sunset? Mm-hmm. Now, what's the halacha? So the halacha is you can still make it bein hashmoshes, between sunset and the stars coming out, and you can say the bracha.
That's okay? $50 now.
Now. Okay. So maybe this would be right. However, if the shul where he's davened already has accepted yontif by starting marith, even though that's before, then he can't make the erev tav shilin because it really is yontif. But in the case of a great necessity, he can rely on those who permit making an erev until the minyan starts shmonesrei. A little bit more.
Or you can go to the shul.
Yeah. Right. Now if it's already after sunset. And you've accepted upon yourself yontif before the rest of the congregation, or let's say you're a woman who's already lit the candles for yontif and you realize you make the erev tav shilin, then it's not really so push that you can do that, and you gotta ask. It's not so simple.
So
it comes out of all this, so Rafal is getting very excited now. So it would come out when we would finish mincha, and we have our, and usually we finish mincha, but you could do it after sunset, it's not a problem. So clearly, an announcement should be made. Those who did not make an Erev Tav Shilin, Rafal will give you a challah and a little thing, and we'd like a donation after Yom Tov.
That's
right. Nothing. And then you eat it on Shal Shittis. Well, that would be the way out. So that's the user-friendly shul.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Rabbi, there's no problem if the wife's accepted Yom Tov and the husband hasn't.
Doesn't matter.
He can make it on behalf
whoever
of
whoever hasn't accepted it is, yeah, can do that.
And she can still cook. For Friday, even though
for, that's right. Now,
trust me, for Shalom Bayit, it's well worth the $25.
Okay,
he's good.
So now, what,
keep your day job, again, but I mean, that's
you made the Erev Tav Shilin, but it got eaten or lost over the course of Yontif before your coming, before the Shabbos meal was prepared on Friday. You know, you cannot cook on Yontif for the Shabbos.
So do you get your money back from someone eats it in the shul?
However, so that's why it's better to do it in the shul, because you won't eat it. However, if only part of the erev got eaten or lost, and a portion of the food is left, and it's the shear of a kezias, then you're still able to cook for Shabbos. And remember we said, it's all from the Rambam, right? And also, you've already started cooking a particular dish for Shabbos, or you're making the challahs, and in the interim, it got eaten up, we allow you to finish that as well.
This is no gain because it's 3 of the next 4 years.
Right. 4 to 5.
Oh, 3.
Wow.
August.
All right. I don't know if you have to prepare special bags in advance.
Sam, should we put this in the budget?
You can do it on the side. You can do it on the side. Now, another important rule. Even though Erev Tav Shilin permits preparation on Yontif for Shabbos, it only allows preparations that enhance the Shabbos meal. Only those kind of preparations. So you can engage any type of cooking. You can wash dishes on Friday, because if you don't have clean dishes, you can't have a Shabbos meal. You can light candles on Yontif in preparation for Shabbos, so you can't have a dark place to eat. But other preparations for Erev Shabbos, for Yontif Shabbos, you can't make. Let's say, for example, if you want to carry your sitter to shul on Yontif, for the sole purpose of Shabbos, right? Or rolling a Sefer Torah to their correct place for the Shabbos reading is not allowed, even if you made an Erev Tav Shilin. So it doesn't allow every Erev Shabbos preparation for Shabbos, okay? Now, however, You could do these preparations if you, you benefit from that on Yontif itself. So let's say you want to bring your sitter to shul on Shabbos, but you're going to daven Friday Mincha.
Yeah.
So then you're okay, because it's helping you for Friday Mincha, and that's going to help you. And similarly, if let's say you're going to have to read the roll the Sefer Torah, but you make a point of reading from the Sefer Torah when you finish rolling it. I'll learn a few psukim. I'll prepare the laning. Let's say it's the Baal Kore. He rolls it, and then he practices on it for a while. That he's allowed to practice. Okay, ready? Now there's an exception to this halacha. You're allowed to straighten up on Yontif even those rooms in the house which will no longer be used on Yontif solely for Shabbos. Since you want to make the bed, whatever, that you'd be allowed to do. Right? Now, as we said before, now, what if a person, you don't plan on cooking at all? At all? I don't plan on cooking at all this Yontif. I'm invited out to all the meals.
Wow.
But you're going to be lighting candles on Yontif for Shabbos. Do you have to make Erev Tavshilin? So that it's a machlokas in the postgame, and in such a situation you do it, but without a bracha.
Whoa.
Because you still want to be able to light candles. Now, if you don't have to light candles, say you're a guest in someone's house, and you're going to be in their house, you're not going to light, let's say you're a guy, right? You're not going to light candles, and you're eating another person's house, and you're sleeping in that person's house. Well, then already you're covered by anyway.
Yeah.
But if, let's say you're a married couple and you're going to be sleeping in your house but eating all the meals in someone else's house, but you're lighting in your house, it's machlokas if you need it. So if you make it without a bracha. Alright, that's the end of Erev Tavshilin. Now we go back into the Rambam.
Is there any harm if you make it but you don't take advantage of it and you just eat it and Shalosh Shudas? Have you done anything wrong?
No.
There's no reason not to make it.
In other words, when you made it, you assumed you'd have to make preparations. I mean, if you know for sure you're not making
preparations. So you just in case.
Well, I mean, a person has to have a little bit of thought before they're doing it. Like, do you plan on, you know, having to cook for sure? I mean, there's a lot of things you got to do. You got to set the table.
Yeah.
We're not even talking about cooking food, not setting the table, washing
dishes. That would require
an exception. That's all things that have to prepare, not just cooking food.
Or you're taking out your Shabbos farm?
No, that won't help. But
I'm just saying, it's not like you made a bracha.
Let's put it this way: if you're invited out for the Shabbos meals, you know, then like, why would you be making an Erev Tavshilin? Again, you have to light candles.
Yeah, if you want to light candles with a bracha.
But if you're sleeping somewhere else, then you don't have to light candles at home.
No.
And then, let's say for the last day, then you wouldn't make an after show. But you don't make it just because you always make one every week.
Could someone argue that, though?
You could say it's a bracha levatala. Yeah.
That's what I'm asking, is it?
If you're pretty sure you don't need it,
don't do it.
Right?
You could always fill up the hot water urn on
purposely
on Friday afternoon so you have some hot water for Shabbos,
okay,
just to make sure.
So if you want, yeah, that's a good point.
Tea in the morning. Yeah.
And you might. It's not unreasonable.
So
but if you know you never drink tea, you know, then you couldn't do that. But if, you know, sometimes you do have a tea, sometimes you don't have a tea, then you could do that. So there's,
you hold by
but there's got to be some kind of use.
I'm just wondering whether you want to go through that just so that you get don't lose the habit of doing it. And so you do it, you purposely cook something and even eat it just so that you continue the routine every...
Listen, it's not hard. You know, you can, that's right. I mean, when you go to someone else, you're coming home, you could always eat a cookie or something.
Right, exactly.
So you're making that on Friday. But if you really don't,
well, you eat there.
The only way that your question is really a solid question, in other words, as a case in point, is you know you're invited for the two meals, and you don't plan on lighting candles. Mm-hmm. So if you're not planning lighting, then there's no need to make there. Okay.
So
you're
going out on Friday night. So
speak up, young man.
You couldn't bring, say, a bottle of wine for your meal. Your hosts, because you'd be preparing for Yontif for Shabbos, unless you made an Erev Tavshilin.
Good question. Let's think of what you're doing. Are you coming on Friday afternoon? Are you coming Friday night?
I'm leaving the house on Friday afternoon to go to shul.
But you started on Yontif.
You bring your wine to shul, then take it over.
Oh, but they're not using it till Shabbos.
So that's a problem.
That's like the same thing as being
in. That's where you'd need the Erev Tavshilin.
Would that help?
Well, you know, I don't know about that.
Would that help? That's like bringing the sitter.
I never think about that because why don't you just go back home after davening and then bring it to
No, because you're going to dinner on this side of Bathurst and homeless on this side. I mean, you're not
going to go back. I'm saying even if you make the Erev Shulin.
That's okay. You're bringing it to Shul on Yom Tov, and then you're bringing it from Shul.
Why are you bringing it to Shul? Just stop on the way to bring it there.
So you can bring it to
your Yom Tov. Bring it there. But you'd have to make an Erev Tov Shulin.
But would that help? Because it didn't help on the Siddur. It didn't help.
No, but this is to eat. This is for meal preparation.
Okay.
This is for meal
preparation. Even though it's not cooked, it's still...
This is for meal preparation. You bring it from front, yeah.
So if you're at, like, the Pesach Hotel, so you would just need it just to light the candles in, right?
Well, no, you wouldn't, because you're...
Or just... The rabbi say it for everybody at the hotel, or to light?
Yeah, I would
think
that would cover
up everything.
Well,
you're not cooking.
Well, no, but the one you're in the same house as it were. So the guy making it to Shilin
for the hotel.
It's for everybody.
So you wouldn't need to do it. You rely on the guy in the hotel.
Everybody in the hotel. You're paying. You're part of the hotel.
Right.
So to make the Erev Shilin, they have everybody in mind. You wouldn't have to figure it.
So you ask if someone
can make for 1,000.
So
and you're eating in the same dining, you're in the same place.
So you don't need to do it.
So using that example, let's say you forgot to make your Erev Tav Shilin.
Does it ever come out? Yeah, it could come out.
But let's say you forgot to make your Erev Tav Shilin because you're eating out, but then you realize you want to take a wine. Could you then say, I'm going to depend on the rabbi's shilin, I want to bring wine now to the dinner?
I want to go to the rabbi's for dinner.
But you're not going to the rabbi's.
You want to use up your chance.
Oh yeah,
is that one year or once a year, once in a lifetime?
It says Machlokas and Poskim. You missed that one. It's Machlokas Poskim. You know, for sure the next yontif if you couldn't rely on the rabbis. So
you can reset the count.
What's that? Want to be a millionaire? You want to use your
lifeline?
Your lifeline.
Oops, I didn't mean to know that.
a lifeline. Somebody helping you out, giving an answer. Like
you can make a phone call to a friend.
Whatever. Okay, he doesn't know about these things. His mind is pure.
Can't call a friend on yontif. All
right. So you see, it's not so pushy. Even these simple laws of Erev Tav Shilin. So. But again, but Shelley's got a point. You can't just make it stam if you don't really plan on doing anything. So, but now there's a lot more possibilities coming. You want to bring the wine. You want to bring
it might be preferable to do something on purpose so that you can do it.
I would say it's a good habit, though, to be in and make sure you're going to...
This group likes tea, so...
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But that way you can earn your way.
Let's do at least one halach in the Rambam. Tesai. Kishem shemitzvah lachabed Shabbos ulaamgo. Just like it's a mitzvah to honor the Shabbos and to take delight in the Shabbos, kach kol yomim tovim. So is the same halacha by yontif that it's a mitzvah to honor the yontif and to take delight in the yontif. Shenemar, this is a pasuk in Yeshaya that when it makes a reference to yontif, it uses the Shabbos terminology. It says likdosh Hashem mechubad. For the holiness of Shem who is honored. Now, that's not enough. There's a pasuk before that. The pasuk before that is the source for Oinik Shabbos. The pasuk before says, V'karasa l'Shabbos Oinik. You will call the Shabbos a delight. From there we learn there's an aspect of Oinik Shabbos and Kavod Shabbos. And then it says, Likdosh Hashem Mechubad. Now we're talking about, the kedusha and ideas and now look at the next pasuk. V'chol yamim tovim never had mikra kodesh. Yamim tovim are called mikra kodesh, days of kodesh. So now we know that kodesh means yontif. So the pasuk after it says, "Call the Shabbos an oneg and likdosh Hashem mukubad," is telling us that that's code word for yontif should be honored. So we see there's an aspect of oneg Shabbos and kavod Shabbos, and then you have oneg yontif and kavod yontif as well. And one of the commentaries, the Aderes, he says he wonders why there's later rabbis who are asking a shaila if there's a mitzvah oinig on yontif like Shabbos. He doesn't understand why they're not quoting this Rambam over here that clearly says you have to do this. Okay, now the where is this? Ukvar Bayarnu, and already explained Hakibud v'ha'inug b'hilchos Shabbos. When we learned Hilchos Shabbos, we explained what Kavod Shabbos is and what Oneg Shabbos is. Quickly, Kavod Shabbos is to wash yourself before Shabbos in hot water, to wear nice clothes, clean clothes, that's Kavod Shabbos. And Oneg Shabbos is to prepare food that's very good, and drinks that are very good, and to eat the meals, and to have wine at the meals, and to have two challahs, and all those things as part of the Oneg Shabbos. So just like you have that on Shabbos, you have that on Yom Tov as well. Okay, and similarly, v'chein royal adam shal yisod bar v'yamim tovim mina mincha l'mala. Person shouldn't have a big meal on Erev Yom Tov from the time of mincha, kitana, and beyond that. Erev Shabbos, just like on an Erev Shabbos. Mincha Ketana, and a half an hour before that. And what's the zman of Mincha Ketana? 2.5 hours, halachic hours before sunset, and a half an hour before that. So it's at the end of the ninth hour. You shouldn't be making big meals before. You got that?
4:20 now.
That's the ninth hour, and not just Mincha Ketana, half an hour before.
So we okay 2 weeks ago? We had our...
Well, but that, no, but that, but that's, but that's on an Erev Yom Tov. We're talking about Erev Yom Tov. But you're right. But we were okay because we started the meal at 3:30.
I know.
We started it before. You don't start it at 4 o'clock. So that was okay.
But there was a whole machlokes. Remember we did that Gemara about.
Yeah. But this is when it's Yom Tov. Yeah, but this is when Yom Tov. You're starting. You're clearly ending before. Clearly ending before. So
Mincha Ketana right now is 17:03. Like today.
5:03.
So 4:30.
So 4:33.
Yeah.
So we started the suit at 3:30.
So you're okay.
And we were done with most of the meal by 4:30. Yeah. Most of it was done.
And it was a couple of weeks earlier. So
okay.
They just nuts.
Now, what do we have over here in this book? Mark Thompson over here. Now, it is interesting, though, and just like you wear special clothes on Shabbos, you wear special clothes on Yom Tov. However, we bring down as well that the clothes worn on Yom Tov should be more special than those on Shabbos.
Really?
More special on Shabbos. That's the Shulchan Aruch, from the Gos Maimoni, from a Yerushalmi. And for the reason for this, the Mishnah Berurah says, because on Yom Tov, there's an additional mitzvah that we'll get to, the mitzvah of
Simcha.
Yeah. Which is not a mitzvah on Shabbos per se. I mean, it should be simcha every day, but Yom Tov has specific mitzvah of simcha. That's why you have a nicer garment for Yom Tov. But in another place in Shulchan, the Ramah says it's like this: it's a mitzvah to wear nice clothes on Yom Tov, kmo b'Shabbos, just like Shabbos. Which appear to say there is no difference. So it's interesting. The Mishnah Brura himself said it should be better. But there's a Ramah that seems to say they're equal, so how could the Mishnah Berurah argue with the Ramah? So in another Sefer they bring down to resolve that issue, that he says like this, that they resolve that no, that the clothes on Yom Tov have to be nicer than those in Shabbos. And what did the Ramah mean that he says you wear nice clothes on Yom Tov like Shabbos? Meaning to say, like Shabbos, that you wear it, put it on Erev Shabbos. Mm. That's what it means. You wear nice clothes on Yom Tov like on Shabbos, mean to say that you put them on before Yom Tov. You know, in other words, there's some people, for example, come Shabbos, they still have their weekday clothes on Friday night.
Whoa.
Shabbos morning, I'll put my Shabbos suit on when I go to Shabbos.
But when it's Yom Tov proceeding.
No, you gotta put the Shabbos suit on before Shabbos.
What's this whole thing also, right? Shabbos afternoon, so, that they people switch to their like regular clothes?
So now this is very interesting. So if you really want to keep this halacha carefully, you should have another suit for Yom Tov. That would be if you have the money for it. You'd have a special suit just for Yom Tov.
Just for Yom Tov.
And then you'd have wear those suit on Yom Tov, but then on Shabbos you'd be wearing a different one.
So you need like a couple suits for Shabbos
and
a couple suits for Yom Tov.
You would change out of your Yom Tov suit and then go in and dress down into your Shabbos suit.
Wow. So when you know, when it says I'm pouring you a big day Shabbos, you don't wear big day Yom Tov.
Apparently, right?
I wonder. Now, just one quick question about when Yom Tov precedes Shabbos, does covered Shabbos suffer?
That's what
because
I was
you
ask
can't
you
can't shower, you can't
right. The hot water
you can't prepare
washing
for Shabbos. So in that case, Yom Tov is greater than Shabbos
you
because
you already did everything before Yom Tov.
I know, but
okay.
2 days
but
later.
2 days later, we're talking Friday afternoon. The week's dinner is.
We're okay. I'm okay with it.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's lessened, and maybe that's what they're saying that the Yom Tov covered.
The halachas were written. Took only about you were lucky to shower
saying,
once a week.
No, but you take it right before Shabbos starts.
You took it before Yom Tov, and it covers all 3 days.
But what I'm saying is,
no, you heard what I mean.
No, I know.
Can't do it.
No, I know that.
How about if you're a chassid? Chassidim can go to the mikvah.
First of all, you can wash your face. You can wash your face. A, you can wash your
face. In warm water.
If you have a bidet, you could use a bidet.
Wow, there you go.
For sure. It's not a shower.
Yeah, both ends, okay.
Have a bidet, and that's it.
No, all I was going to say was, in that situation, you're more providing covered for Yontif than you are for Shabbos.
No, because you're clean for Shabbos. You're not...
For relatively.
Let's go out. Are you going into the... to the steel mill on Thursday and Friday?
No, but you could trim your beard.
And you drive
before
downtown.
You can't do that.
You
can't.
Don't trim your beard. Don't do that.
You understand? It's like you're clean. You're clean on Wednesday. You're clean on
okay,
Friday.
Okay, never mind the shower. Trimming your beard. You can trim your
two
beard.
2 days. Nothing happens.
Say,
okay,
after
two days.
Dancing Simchas Torah two times. Okay, at night and then the next day.
Okay,
and then
you so
shower.
You know, it's never, you never heard of the Puerto Rican shower?
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
I
take
that. I smelled it a few times on showers.
The aerosol.
There you go. Done.
You're clean.
Right.
You gotta be. He said this about 12 times.
From New York, everybody knows about this. Okay, last halach over here. Just like Yontif has to be like Shabbos, or just like on Shabbos, you have to change the way you talk on Shabbos. You have to change the way you talk on Yontif. So you wouldn't talk about business matters or engage in any conversation that you wouldn't do on Shabbos. You shouldn't do on Yontif. As well.
Footnote 42 for this.
Footnote? For what? I know, but that's the next halacha.
No,
I didn't finish. I didn't finish the line. All right, we'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll finish in Tessai. Okay, good.